I want to welcome you this morning, especially if you happen to be visiting with us today. We're delighted to have you in attendance with us at our service. We're going to go right on into our lesson this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can go ahead. You can open them to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, we're going to be dealing with that particular passage of Scripture. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 15 together in just a few moments as we think about our lesson for today. Give me this hill. I want to share a story with you. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. I want to tell you about a Sergeant York. How many of you have ever had the opportunity to watch a movie starring Gary Cooper entitled Sergeant York? Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad some of you have heard of this, because this morning very few had heard of it, although I have found out that apparently this guy is related to Chris and Sandra. He's in their family. Sandra, you look shocked. Do you know who Sergeant York is? All right, you've seen the movie. Well, Alvin C. York, at the time of the writing of the movie, he was Sergeant York, or had become Sergeant York, but the events took place while he was still just a corporal. In World War I, as he was fighting for the American troops in France, they were in a battle against the Germans, and the Germans had occupied an area, a hill, and they were attacking the soldiers there that were from France and from America, and there were so many of them that were getting killed. And finally, they said, we have got to do something about it. We've got to take this. So there was a group of 17 men that were told to advance on the Germans while they were firing down from this hill on all of those Americans. Well, in that conflict, 9 of the soldiers were killed. So there were only 8 left. And Corporal Alvin York, he was the highest commanding person there. So he led those other 7 men up that hill so that they could take the Germans. Well, they got into the battle. Of course, some of them were wounded, but during the course of that, they were able to take what was called Hill 223. It was just a hill in an area of France where the Germans were invading. He was a sharpshooter, so he was picking off those Germans left and right, and he was shooting them down, and if they were shooting him, he would give them an opportunity to surrender. In fact, he had been shooting several of them, and while they were still engaged in that battle, he stopped firing and he said, listen, do y'all want to surrender? He gave them an opportunity to surrender, and they wouldn't surrender, so he kept firing. He kept shooting. And he would later say in some of his memoirs, I didn't want to kill any of those people. I kept asking them, please, let's stop, let's surrender. But it was either they kill me or I shoot them, and they kill the other people that were with me, and we weren't going to let that happen. At the conclusion of this battle, they finally were able to get back behind the Germans and they were able to take that hill. At the conclusion of it, they were able to gather 35 machine guns. In the conflict, Sergeant York shot 28 German soldiers and killed them. And 128 soldiers and 4 officers surrendered to him and the other 7 men. They marched him down the hill, turned him over. He was given the Medal of Honor for this bravery and for this great accomplishment. They were on that hill. That hill needed to be taken. He said, give me that hill. They took the hill. Our text in Joshua chapter 14 tells us what happened to Joshua's co-spy, Caleb. You'll remember in Numbers chapter 13, there 12 spies were commissioned to go into the land of Canaan to look through that land, to survey it, and then come back and give a report to the children of Israel and to Moses. And when they came back there, 10 of those spies had a discouraging report. Said, those people there are like giants and we are like grasshoppers and we just don't believe that this is possible. We can't do it. And all of the people were discouraged because of that report. But Joshua and Caleb, these two spies, said, no, we can take the land. Because of the discouragement of the other people, you know what happens. God says, you know, if you don't have faith to be able to take that mountain, if you don't have the faith to take that hill or that land or possess whatever it is that I want to give you, then you can wander here in the wilderness for 40 years. Have you ever thought about that? Here is Caleb and here is Joshua. And we know a lot about Joshua's exploits. In fact, there's a book written about some of the exploits. We see the military successes of the children of Israel in their conquest. In fact, I understand that there are several people throughout history that have studied the warfare of the Israelites. They've studied what Moses was able to accomplish. They've studied the great victories of Joshua and the wisdom behind that as they were directed by God. And they've utilized that information in battles even in more current times. But you see, Joshua and Caleb, and they're going to have to wander in that wilderness for 40 years. Did they do anything wrong? Were they the discouraging voice? No, they were men of faith. They were men of action. They were ready to stand up for God, and Caleb gets stuck wandering in a wilderness for 40 years with a bunch of ungrateful, selfish, unbelieving individuals. You think about his age when he went in to spy the land. 40 years old. 40 years old. Which meant he was at least going to be what? Before he could go to the promised land. Going to be at least 80. And we don't like to wait for things, do we? No, we don't like to wait. Somebody says, you know what? Boy, you got a great blessing for you. You just wait on it. It'll be here in 40 years. We don't like to wait that long to get the things that have been promised to us or that we want to have at that particular time. 40 years old, he is at least going to have to wait until he's 80 to get that great blessing. Well, we don't read much about Caleb, but we do come to Joshua chapter 14. And as the children of Israel are going into the land to possess that land, finally Caleb comes to Joshua and he says to him, I am 85 years old. So maybe there had been some conquest going on for 5 years, and now it's just come to the time that Caleb's getting his opportunity to do what he wants to do and to take the hill. And that's what he comes and he says. He says, listen, I want you to give me this hill country known as the Hebron area, and I'm going to take it. Now, this was not an easy place for them to be able to traverse and to take this, because it says in the Scriptures that this used to be the land of the sons of Anak or the Anakims, and those were believed to be giants at that time. So this was not going to be a place that was going to be taken without some opposition. But he says, I want you to give me this hill. He said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40 and I spied out this land at the very beginning, and we can take it, and I want you to give it to me. And so at 85, he goes there. He asked Joshua, give me this hill. And then he went and took it. Give me this hill. Now think about another story. I invite you to turn over to Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 30, and they spit on him, took the reed and struck him on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lot. And then they sat down and kept watch over him there. You go back to Strong's exhaustive concordance, and in the back of it you're going to find a lexicon, and it will give you the meaning of some words. Well, we know that they call Golgotha here in this particular passage of Scripture a place of the skull, but if you look in the Greek lexicon, you're going to find the word Golgotha is defined as a knoll near Jerusalem. Anybody know what a knoll is? It's a small hill. It's a small hill. What do we know? We know that Jesus said, "Give me that small hill. Give me that small hill." And we may think it was small, but it's certainly not insignificant. Jesus says, "Give me that hill." I think about Colossians 2. If you have your Bibles and want to look at that particular passage of Scripture, you can. Let's begin in verse 13. It says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him." Jesus says, "You give me this hill." He said, "I'll win a victory for all of mankind." You know, preachers generally do 3 points to a sermon. But basically what I'm trying to do today is 3 stories that will make a point. That will make a point. And really there's going to be a 4th story. You know, this week, I have been with Harry in Haiti. We got an opportunity to go visit Lilywa. We got to sit down with Brother Julian. And the day that we went to see Brother Julian, he was so distraught. You could just see that he just seemed defeated that day. And it's because he had gotten some aid or an aid check from the government. And so he was so excited because he was going to be able to help the orphanage and help the school and all of those things. And I think that the government's supposed to be helping with the school a little bit, but they hadn't received a lot of money at all from him. And I couldn't tell you when. And he got a check. And so he spent that morning walking all the way to the bank to get that cashed and to be able to come back and perhaps pay some of the teachers and give some of the money out that they need. And he walked all the way down there and handed him his ID and the check. And they looked at it and said, "We are under a temporary government and there's no money in this account. We don't have money to give you. This check's no good." How'd you like it? I heard Harry say this. How'd you like it if you sent in your taxes, filed your taxes, and the government sent you a check for the refund and you took it to the bank and said, "We're sorry, you can't cash this, it's no good." How'd you feel about that? Well, he was pretty defeated that day, but there was a blessing. Even in his defeated condition that day, I'll tell you what eventually happened. He perked up, said, "Hey, since y'all are here," he didn't know we were coming and we were there, "so since y'all are here, I was wondering if you'd do something for me. There's a group of Christians about 2 hours in the countryside, and they're wanting to talk to y'all about doing some type of campaign. Maybe y'all could do something for them in June when you come back and preach to them because they really want." So we said, "Well, we don't know if we can do anything in June, but we'll be glad to go out there and try to talk to them and let's see if we can organize something and work out the logistics of that situation." So on Thursday morning, we got up, we picked Brother Julian up, and we drove 2 hours and 15 minutes over the big mountain and there into that rural area. Took us about 25 minutes to find where we were going. We passed it 3 times. Because Brother Julius was looking for some markers, but he kept missing it. So we drove past it. No, we've gone too far. We went back the other way. No, he finally called the guy, and that guy met us and said, "It's right up that way." We drove back up there, and on the side of the road, there were 3 men standing there with their Bibles and their cases. And they were standing right beside a dried riverbed. Didn't know where to pull. I mean, there's nowhere to park the car, really, except just a little gravel area off the side of the road. There's nothing there. And said, "Well, there they are. We said, this is it? I said, well, where is it? So we got out of the car and we began to talk to the men, and they said, follow us and we'll take you where we want you to go, and we're going to show you where we want to do a campaign. And they led us up a hill through a goat trail. And there it is. We're coming down it now. They led us up the hill, up the goat hill, to a plateaued area. And they said, here it is. And there's nothing there. But we want you to come, and we want you to preach a campaign for us. And we're going to try to figure out a way to put up a tent. There's about 200 Christians there. Show you. That's the hillside. They said, it's right here off the road. If we'll walk right up this hill about 30 feet, then we can do the little campaign right here. Said, or, and I don't know if I can make this out, it won't go on the screen, but if you'll look at that dark mountain at the back, the little mountain right beside it, you might be able to see a tree line about like that tall. Said, or, we do have a little building back up there. If y'all could walk from here to there, we could do the campaign and we would have all the people there. Well, we looked at that and we said, whew, maybe pretty tough to walk that. We said, well, you said you've got around 200 Christians here that need encouraging and strengthening, and you want us to do a campaign. Well, why would you want to do it here in this location? Well, we believe that we can get about 400 to 500 people here from the community to hear the gospel preached. You know what? They need somebody to take that hill. They need somebody to take that hill. We need to take that hill. You know, I think about the warfare that's being fought. I think about the stories of Sergeant York, and he's having to fight Germans. And I think about Caleb, and he's having to fight giants. And these guys aren't meeting with the resistance there. In fact, they're asking us, come and preach the gospel. We want you to take this hill. We want to give you this hill, and we want you to preach the gospel. We're not meeting with the same opposition maybe Caleb and maybe Sergeant York met with when they were dealing with some warfare. But what we are dealing with is this. We're dealing with the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places that are trying to condemn men to everlasting torment. Now these people are ready to fight. They're ready to fight the spiritual forces of evil because they want to go to heaven. And they want us to bring them the gospel message and help convert those people in that countryside to Jesus Christ. Do you know what? We're fighting some spiritual battles too. And I think that the spiritual forces we are fighting sometimes are the excuses for why we can't do it. These people are ready to fight. They want to take that hill. Now the question is, are we ready to take that hill? Are we ready to take that hill? Now I use this as an example, but we can make this relevant for any situation in our life. Are you ready to take the hills? There's a lot of spiritual forces, evil forces that are at work fighting against you, and the question becomes, are you ready to take the hill? Are you going to win that battle? Here's what we have to ask ourselves. Will we do it? Will we do it? Will we fight the forces of evil that are at work trying to tell us you can't do it? Trying to tell us you don't need to go there? You don't need to do it. Are we ready to stand up and take the message of Jesus Christ to the people that need it and are begging for it? That's our question. We've been singing songs today. It was kind of interesting this morning as we were talking about this, and I was talking about Hill 223 when it was involving Sergeant York. The next song that we sang at the early service was 223, which Tommy just sang today. We didn't plan that. What's the song say? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Think about the power in the blood. You think about the message. The songs Tommy's been singing this morning, been talking about getting the message out. The wonderful story of love. Tell it to Jesus, or tell it today. Are we ready? Go out and be the Christians and the servants that God wants us to be. There's a blank on your outline today. One of the blanks talks about York the sergeant. One talks about Jesus the Savior. Other one talks about Caleb. And what about you? That blank, that last blank, is left there for you to fill out your name. Will you be the servant that God needs you to be? We want to invite you, if you haven't obeyed the gospel already, to do what many people are waiting to hear about and are ready to be obedient to, but haven't had the opportunity. Are you ready to be obedient to God today? Are you ready to be a servant? It's time to take that hill. You can do that now while you stand and sing.